Welcome to Being the Church, a podcast from North Star Church in Blacksburg, Virginia. The goal of this podcast is to help our church family grow as disciples of Jesus who model love, humility, obedience to God, and use their influence to share the gospel and make disciples themselves. Today, myself and Braden Wallace, our young adult minister here at North Star, talk a bit about the trends that we're seeing among Gen Z and millennials related to their spiritual interest and, more specifically, their interest in Jesus and Christianity. This is a fascinating and encouraging conversation and one that I think you're going to enjoy a lot. It is a bit longer than the other podcasts that we've recorded so far, but I think it's worth every minute of your time, particularly as we consider the area that we live in and the demographics that we're surrounded by. I'm thankful for Braden taking the time to share with us today, and I hope you enjoy this conversation. All right, well, welcome back to the Being the Church podcast. I'm Matt Simpson, associate pastor here, and I am with our young adult minister, Braden Wallace. Braden, how are you doing?
Doing great. It's a wonderful Wednesday. Thanks for having me.
It is a wonderful Wednesday. I'm happy to be here with you. We're going to be talking about a topic that kind of like relates to you and your ministry area a little bit, which is why we invite you on. So I'm excited to talk about it. We've been seeing, if we want to call it a revival or renewal or just a trend, if we want to call it that, of young people specifically becoming more interested in faith, spirituality, church, organized religion even. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of a trend that a lot of people have talked about, a lot of people have studied, and it's a little bit of a reversal. Braden, if you remember this, but it seemed like for a few years, all we were being told is the church is dying.
Yes.
You know, it's like, oh, people aren't coming to church.
Yep.
Young people hate church now. Mm-hmm. Like they're leaving the church in droves. It's just kind of a thing that was happening.
Absolutely.
You know, for quite some time. It seems like that's not really the narrative anymore, or at least it doesn't seem to be what's happening. So I'm going to throw some numbers out to you, and then I'd just love to get your kind of read on it. So I'm going to talk for a little bit up front here. Yeah. Sorry.
Sounds good.
But I think it's important for context. Mm-hmm. It seems like it really, according to a lot of this, I'm getting from Pew Research and the Barna Research Group, which are both pretty helpful. It seems like we almost bottomed out around 20, 21, 22 in response to the statement that someone has made a personal commitment to Jesus that's still important to their life today. Only about 54% of Americans said that was true for them, that they had made a personal commitment to Jesus that's still important to their life today. And that was up from about 78% in 2007. Mm-hmm. And really that 78% number is more of claiming to be Christian,
right,
which is maybe a little bit more kind of zoomed out than like a specific declaration of faith in Jesus. But still, we've seen even that it was dropped from 78% in 2007 down to only 60% that would self-identify as Christians in 21 through 22. But what we've seen since that sort of low period right after, you know, the pandemic is it seems like faith is coming back, or, you know, don't call it a comeback,
yeah,
but, you know, now when we look at that statement of made a personal commitment to Jesus that's still important in their life today, 66% of Americans say, up from 54%, 66% of Americans, the latest data, say that they have made a personal commitment to Jesus that's still important to their life today. So, though, when we dig down a little bit more into the data, though, we see where is this coming from? What is driving this change? And maybe surprisingly to some people, it is primarily Gen Z and millennials. And Gen Z, broadly defined as born between 1997 and 2012, millennials born between 1981 and 96. But on average, they've seen a jump of 12% in people that would declare themselves as making a personal commitment to Jesus.
Right.
And even more interestingly, it's men who have Gen Z and millennial men have been identifying as Christians even at a higher rate than women. And if we zoom out from Christianity to just spirituality in general, over 8 to 10 people between the ages of 18 and 24, they believe in the concept of a soul or a spirit in addition to their physical bodies, and 75% of the same age range believe in something spiritual beyond the natural world. Not only that, last but not least, the rise of the nuns, which we heard about, you know, for a while, at the
N-E-S, not N-U-N.
The nuns,
yes.
That confuses a lot of people.
The religiously non-affiliated. Yes. That has been steadily rising for about 30 years, but in the past couple of years, according to Ryan Burge writing, he seems to think, and the data bears it out, that that's leveled off a bit. So that's a lot of data. The big picture, though, is that we've seen just over the past few years a really pretty incredible jump, particularly among Gen Z and millennials, amounting to an average jump of about 12% of folks that would say they've made a personal commitment to Jesus. There's a ton more data that we could look at, but we do not have the time to do that. So just now I've talked a lot, and Braden, I'd just love to kind of get your off-the-cuff thoughts about some of this. How does it make you feel? What do you think about it? You know, what would you say in response to all that?
Yeah, well, it makes me feel great. obviously, I love seeing people encounter Jesus for the first time and be able to come into a personal relationship with him. And for Gen Z, I'm a part of Gen Z. I think for a while, I'm an old soul, so I said, no, I don't want anything to do with Gen Z. I don't really act like other Gen Zers, but I do. And I think that it was really helpful for me to see this and to maybe put some context to some of the things that I saw when I was in college. It was interesting to me when you were reading through that this all-time low was in 2021 and 2022. That's when I graduated college, was 2020. And right on the heels of the pandemic, I think I sensed kind of that decline headed up to that year. It did seem like there was some disillusionment. There's a lot going on in the world. And I think that with social media kind of amplifying those things, it sort of led to a tipping point that in 2020, just looking around my own campus, there was a sense of, man, it doesn't seem like we're gaining much ground. People aren't really responsive, interested. And so even since then, it's been really cool to see that there's a flip. And I think especially in Z, I've seen that that's even true of some of my friends that I've been walking with for a while. They're now interested in who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. And some of them have even started following Jesus, which it seemed like it might be impossible just a few years ago. It makes me feel great. It's a crazy trend. And I think that you really have to be paying attention to believe it. If you just look at what maybe painting with a broad brush, what's going on in the world, you might not see that there's this kind of quiet rise of Gen Z people looking towards Jesus.
It's even been called like a quiet revival.
Yeah.
You know, that's what some people are calling it, is because it's not necessarily, you know, the camp revivals of the past, or and sometimes it doesn't even, we may touch on this, it doesn't even necessarily include like always people going back to church even, but like there is this quiet even revival kind of going on, which in kind of looking at broad overall trends, or just trends in the sense of like cultural, we may be like, are we doing okay?
You know?
I think that's a really great point. I think paying attention, that's a really great way to look at this. What do you think are some possible reasons that this is happening now, you know, in 2024, 25. We've been seeing this go on for a couple of years. You know, the Asbury Revival was a thing, and then we've seen the Unite Us rallies in the different college campuses. You mentioned the Ohio State thing earlier before we started recording. Why do you think it's happening now?
It's a great question.
As you, an expert sociologist,
obviously, overall, the reason that anything happens is that God is at work. And I think in some unique ways. But I think that the gospel is good news. It's obviously good news for everybody. But I think Gen Z, it has struck a particular chord with a generation that maybe has been really accustomed to a lot of bad news and maybe bad news personally about themselves. We've seen rises in anxiety and depression. And I think self-concept has been really elevated as something they're thinking about a lot. Mm-hmm. And people aren't really liking what they're finding. And so there's a sense in which the gospel is good news for, they care a lot about what's going on in the world, and I want to be a part of something bigger. But also, when I look in the mirror, how do I form an identity? How do I understand myself in a way that can I be fully known and also fully loved?
Yeah.
Is that possible? And I think that the gospel is uniquely, it is that we are able to be fully known, even in our sinfulness, but also fully loved, Jesus has done. And so that's, I think that's a, and I think that it maybe has been we've had to sort of reach the end of ourselves in some ways. I think the pandemic, especially as a shared experience, brought some of these questions that we had maybe been able to hide behind for a while to the forefront. And so now it's, I can't help but actually engage in these.
Yeah.
The gospel has always been able to reach those deepest parts of us, but now we're actually taking some. And so those could be some reasons. I think there are a lot, but I think that the gospel is really good news that is now able to be personally applied, I think, in some new ways to Gen Z.
Yeah, no, and I think the digital kind of generations that have been raised, it's just like you started out by just talking about, like, there's so much bad out there and you're inundated. Our brains are just feel like they're not designed to be like have the entire world trauma dump on us all at one time, you know?
Totally.
And it feels kind of overwhelming. And it just seems like, bad stuff did happen before, but we didn't know about it all at the same time, you know?
Right.
And even we could make the argument there are some things that are uniquely awful about our world today.
Right.
And I'll read this quote from Stetzer, Ed Stetzer. He wrote writing in U.S. Today. He says, "Secularism for many has been found empty and wanting. The chaos and instability of the past few years has people returning to the age-old questions about where we came from, why the world is so messed up, and where we can find hope. And as Christians, we can rejoice in a newfound openness because we have this strange belief about death and life, that resurrection is real in Christ and possible for the church." Mm-hmm. I think that, like, it speaks to what you're saying too about the gospel. Like, the gospel is good news and it is true. And in a world full of instability and chaos, like, and everybody's trying to medicate that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're really trying to find something that's going to calm their anxious heart and mind and give them answers and identity and meaning. And we've tried all sorts of things, you know, chasing all sorts of things, whether it's like personal identity questions or if it is success or if it is power or if it's this or that. Yeah. And it just hadn't worked. You know, self-actualization is not a thing that has led to that, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, with that, there's just a real struggle, I think, to feel like secularism is scratching that itch. And Christianity, though, the gospel offers not just hope and identity and security for the moment, but for eternity. And it gives a logic to the universe, which is not available through, secular, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so specifically, though, from your experience, whether it's your own ministry here now as our young adult minister kind of ministering to these folks, or if it's from your own personal experience kind of going through college, how have you seen this sort of trend play out, personally?
Yeah, I've seen it in both. I obviously have been on staff in this role here shorter than I've been alive, obviously. That has to be true. But I have been seeing it throughout time in youth ministry, but also now as I've gotten more experience with college and then just thinking just a few years ago in college. I think seeing people that we're not just filling rooms, it's not necessarily about we've seen more people just numbers wise coming to things, but I think we've seen a depth that wasn't there before. One of the big values for Gen Z that I think has been really put on display is that Gen Z values authenticity a lot.
Yeah.
And so some of the hangups with the church or organized religion or with a lot of things is that, well, we've seen a lot of things in the past or we can't trust these institutions. And so it's we don't want any. It's not authentic what this person is saying. They're not back. But also there's this craving for some of personal and spiritually meaningful experience.
Yeah.
And so we've seen some people turn to new age practices, right? And just looking at spirituality in general. But that is also found wanting when there is no personal connection with verse.
Yeah, right? Self-centered.
Yeah. You're still looking at yourself just in a different way. And so I think when there have been people on campus and just in everyday life who have been able to present Jesus as this authentic, the most authentic person that has ever lived, who did everything that he said he would do and claims to be who he says he is, and he actually is that, he backs it up, and that's a lovely person to be around. And so I think that as people have encountered that, as people have encountered Jesus, but also people who have started to live out a Christian life faithfully and be bold in their witness, even on social media, and be willing to say, hey, I'm a believer. That has been something that I think has led to people see that. They see that authenticity on a part of them where they can be open about. I was just watching even this morning, you know, an apology video from Corey Asbury about something that he did in response to Forrest Frank. It's a very Gen Z conversation right there. But he was apologizing, and that kind of vulnerability, humility, saying, I did something against you. I'm sorry. But that we can also still have hope, reconciliation. And so I think that that's something, seeing it played out in the lives of others is really...
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, authenticity, I think, is a great, great word for it. Because our whole society, particularly inundated with social media and things like we are, is inherently inauthentic, you know, and there's really nothing that makes it authentic. Like even somebody that posts something and be like, I'm being super authentic. No, you're not.
No,
it's not possible. The platform denies you the ability to do that. But yeah, I think authenticity, the other thing that, this is a little bit of a tangent, but, Creed, the band Creed, they had their biggest year in the past couple of years, one of their biggest years in the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. And it's like, Creed was known as like, yeah, and it's just garbage rock, you know, for like people with no taste, you know? Right. And it's just like, it's too like self-involved. It's too sincere. It's too, and like our whole like jaded, cynical, whatever culture was like, okay, well, that's just some nonsense. But like people are kind of losing that sense of cynicism now a little bit, you know, and like something that is endearing maybe to just be hopeful.
Yeah.
And not cynical.
Yeah.
And maybe also like look for authenticity in some of these places where maybe before it was just not a thing for them.
Yeah. Know? And I think that also ties into just speaking to, I've been able to definitely see this in the lives of men as a man.
Yeah.
But being in those spaces, I think that it's kind of a perfect storm of we're seeing men kind of being at the forefront of, instead of kind of posing as, well, we don't feel emotions and we don't want to be authentic with each other. There's been a big shift. Men are now willing to be open about, here are the things that I struggle with. I need community. I need friends. And they're stepping out with that together. It's same thing with the Ohio State football team saying, we need one another, and these are the things that we believe. I think embracing friendship and embracing vulnerability have been really big things that I've seen as a kind of a through this rise, especially on the side.
That's like digging down deeper into the numbers, like the commitment to Jesus, at least the verbal acquiescence to a commitment to Jesus among Gen Z men, being more specific with men, has jumped 15% in the recent years and 19% among millennial men, like which is a flip really from what historically we've seen from people like both with church attendance and following Jesus and what have you. So I think you're dead on there. So we've gone a little long, but like this is a great conversation. So we're gonna keep going with one more question. Specifically, how do we respond to this? Like in your mind, what are some good ways for us to like practical things? Like somebody listening to this goes, like they're fired up. Like, you know, what can the church, Christians individually, and then maybe even just North Star specifically living in the college town that we're in, you know, full of these folks. What are some things that maybe we can do specifically to engage in light of this sort of trend that we're seeing?
Yeah. So if I had to think of three things, it's one, give thanks.
Yeah.
Give thanks. This is something that God is doing. And it's really cool to just sit back and be able to just witness, wow, God is in some incredible ways. Mm. And so I think just give thanks, have a spirit of, but then also go see. I think see where this is at work. Don't just take surveys word for it or just take our word for it, but actually go up and talk to Gen Z students. They might be a little squirrely, right? I am a little bit. That's something that's unique, but really get involved. Seek to invite students and Gen Z, just individuals, into your life and also get to know them.
Yeah,
there is a hunger for authenticity, and so capitalize on that. And I say initiate conversations because they will talk. I think that sometimes we would have helped doing that. But then I think that the last thing would just be join in. Something that's really cool is that God is doing things far beyond what we can do ourselves. And this is a movement that he is initiating, but he's also, I think, inviting us into it in a special way. And so in North Star, whether it's through being involved in college ministry or whatever it is. But the point is that there are students and there are Gen Z individuals mm-hmm. and young adults in the congregant every day. And so seek opportunities, mm-hmm. I think, to engage with them, to say, where can I be a part of this in equal way? You do have a part, in, mm-hmm. and God delights to use us in joining in his work. And so I think just asking questions, saying, where can I be, is a way to start. And hopefully because of that, you'll be able to give more thanks and to see more joy because you've been involved.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, give thanks, go see, enjoy. And that's awesome. Yeah, I really think that, you know, there's always some hesitation sometimes to having conversations, maybe spiritual conversations.
Yes.
And, you know, seeing these things like, you know, Jesus talks about, you know, when he looks out and he says, hey, like the fields are white for harvest. Like we see numbers and like numbers are numbers. But like mm-hmm. this is an indicator that like the Spirit is maybe moving in a unique way right now. Not that he doesn't always move. And even folks that, you know, even among people that just, you know, maybe wouldn't say that they're coming back to Christianity or coming to Christianity for the first time, but just spiritually minded, you know, mm-hmm. which is a buzzword right now. But listen, if we've got, you know, over 8 out of 10 young folks and 75 that believe that they have a soul or believe in the concept of a soul or spirit. And we've got 75% of them as well that like believe that there's something else out there mm-hmm. beyond just the, you know, what they can see, smell, touch, you know, like that's something, you know, mm-hmm. and that's something that maybe we should also just consider in even having conversations and things like that. So, Braden, I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us.
Thank you.
Parting thoughts or anything that you would say?
I just really appreciate being here. I'm really excited to be involved, I think, for a front row seat to what God is doing. Yeah, the encouragement I have to remind myself of is that I might limit what God can do sometimes mm-hmm. in my mind and say, well, they won't like this and people won't respond, but I think the data is clear.
Yeah.
People are more willing to talk about Jesus and to explore a relationship with him. And so mm-hmm. That encourages me, encourages whoever's all.
Yeah. Where can people go to learn a little bit more about North Star College Ministry and maybe even contact you about getting involved? Like how could they go about doing
it? Yeah. So on the website, we've at don'tgo.be/college, we've got just kind of a general overview mm-hmm. Of some of the things that we do. But Braden at North Star Family, spelling that correctly. Just look at the title of this to spell my name correctly. But I would love to connect you with, we have a college support team. So that mm-hmm. looks like baking cookies for events, just giving rides to church, things like that, simple, practical. But then also college leadership team, if you want to be at the front lines of discipling and things like that. Mm-hmm. There are so many opportunities that I would love to talk to you about. So please email me anything. Just come talk to me.
Yeah, yeah. No, we really hope that you'll do that. This is a great opportunity for you to get involved in ministry in an area that is really full of these young people that are apparently beginning to search for something more beyond just what the world has offered them, which we know that Jesus offers them more as he's offered it to each one of us. So, Braden, thanks for being here. This is great. Really
thanks
awesome
again.
Conversation. Hope it's been encouraging to you all, and we'll see you next time.
We hope this time has been an encouragement and a help to you in your own walk with the Lord. If it was, maybe consider sharing this podcast with someone you know and let us know you enjoyed it by leaving a rating and maybe even a comment. That'll help us gauge the helpfulness of our content and what might be encouraging to our church family in the future. Thanks so much for listening. If you're interested in learning more about North Star Church, head over to northstarfamily.org for all the information and to contact us if you'd like to do that. We hope the Lord blesses you as you endeavor to serve him.
We're being held together by clips by and tablecloths. So
yeah,
we're just trying to make it work.
It's okay.